promise me you'd be around. Uh-huh, that's right.
Number one on the pop charts.
I took your words and I believed in everything you said to me. Yeah, that's right.
You know who this is?
I'm going to guess Pink.
It's Pink. Not having a teenage daughter, I would have had no idea that was Pink. It could have been Purple.
Another one with three times the voice Britney Spears will ever bring to the table.
If she can get her voice up to the table. I agree.
She's dancing on it, why not?
Remember when we were such fools and so confused.
All right, big pop hit, pop star Pink. What do we know about Pink? I don't know anything.
Pink was a troubled teenage kid who actually got into music and saved her life, probably, from gangs and drugs and all the other stuff.
Oh, like really?
That. Yeah, mm-hmm. We're kind of the rocker chick.
She's a total rocker chick. Yeah, she's the anti-Britney.
Is your daughter at all interested in Pink yet, or is she too young?
No, she's Miley Cyrus still. She's like slightly younger than Pink. I don't think she's into Pink. I'll tell you who she's into. I never saw her so excited last night. Said, Dwayne The Rock Johnson is going to be on my favorite show.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
And she went running off. The guy we just knew as The Rock, who when he was a wrestler, is apparently now a kid.
She knows all four of his names.
Exactly. I mean, he's a kid star all of a sudden.
Well, The Rock's a movie star now.
Mm. Yeah. All right. It's amazing to me that there's generations of music now split up into every 8 or 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be listening to something different. And I'm so far removed from, single-digit age kids and even teens now that, because my 20-somethings are listening to something entirely different.
Yeah, you won't hear that Pink rambling down the hallway from the kid's bedroom.
No, and I won't hear the, who's the Disney one, Hannah
Montana.
Montana.
Miley Cyrus, the girl he quoted there, that is Hannah Montana. That's Billy Ray Cyrus's kid.
Kidding.
Who's three times the star power he ever was.
Gonna be tough. It's hard out there on a Britney.
you gotta shave something altogether different now to get a piece of
rest.
That's
right. There's another kids band that worries me a little just from the name that she's been listening to.
What's it called?
The Naked Brothers.
The Naked Brothers?
Yeah. Now, I don't know if that's their, like, last name or what.
Or it's just 8-year-olds trying to tick off their parents.
It's a kid band. It's young, good-looking guys, and they're called the Naked Brothers.
Have you heard the music yet?
Not paid a lot of attention to it.
Here it is. Infectious preteen pop. What this is.
It's Nickelodeon generated sugar goob. It's a Nickelodeon show, right?
I don't know. Yeah. I got no problem with the music. It's the name I'm a little concerned
with. The Naked Brothers.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're like 8 and 9, I think, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Is their last name Naked? I mean, why would you call yourself the Naked Brothers?
Because Downtown Joe would get all freaked out about it. And
how do we imagine a classic rock radio station? How do we do that?
Mike Jones.
Joe, do you not watch TV with Emily? You just set her down in front of a TV and walk away?
Well, we've all got our own. She's old enough. I don't have
By the way, that's a terrible problem with families today. There are too many television channels. At least TV used to include, even if it was just sitting next to each other, against the glow of the screen, family time. Ed Sullivan was family time.
You had to watch what the old man was watching in my house.
Uh-huh.
You wanted to see a picture moving somewhere in the house, you had to watch what the old man was watching.
Now parents don't just, sit staring blankly at the screen with their kids. They put their kids in their own little room where the glow basks on their forehead. Dances.
Digs in.
We don't lock her in there or put her in there. I mean,
she'll slip a slice of pizza under the door.
No, she turns on the TV when she wants to, turns it off when she wants to, after she's done her
homework.
That's
like saying we don't stick the needle in the addict's arm.
We make the needle
just leave it out for him. He can go to it anytime he wants to.
We got, you know, we try to monitor Darby's TV intake. We try to, but it's hard. It's hard to. Hmm. And she's got her own TV, too.
So the Naked Brothers are a TV show?
That's right. A fictional band, yeah.
The Naked Brothers Band.
And they started off, according to the story, they were really little kids, like preschool, and they called themselves the Naked Brothers. And I guess that's some reference to, like, taking baths and stuff. And then they go through a period where they change their name, but then they decide they want to change it back. They're going to be the Naked Brothers. But it's not their last name or anything.
Well, I just think subliminally it might be sending the wrong message.
Wait a minute. What's subliminal about naked? That's subliminal? Like, what the heck? What are you saying? I mean, I might have a subliminal message. Okay, what's the subliminal part of this?
Well, I've got no problem with naked, but I just, the way it rolls off my 8-year-old daughter's tongue so easily. I mean, it's setting her up.
Should she not know what she is? I don't have clothes on. Well, I don't know what that is.
Just when she's a teenager, is getting naked going to seem a little quicker and more natural to her because of
this
the
this from a Grateful Deadhead.
I know.
This from a guy who swam naked in a muddy river.
I just want to make sure until she's 18 or so that she pretty much stays clothed. I mean,
you like her naked at a concert as soon as she's 18.
Well, no, then she, it's beyond my control. I mean, in this country.
Let them fly out there, honey. That's how you get backstage.
You just got to teach them the best you can. And when they're 18, then it's, you know, you don't get much more say. Spike can tell you that.
Well, if you think you got sway until they're 18, you really have taken too many dead shows. Big time, because you lose sway at about 14. If you've done a good job, they listen to you till 14.
Yeah, the internet's catch them now.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. The internet.
Yelling at 14 girls. That's what we're doing. Arr. Oh, man, ain't that the truth?
Children's do learn, though, at 8.
Yes.
If and they's in a good school.
Yeah, no child left to dime.
And here's a pet peeve of Joe's. Many people, millions, get credit cards in the mail, even though they didn't ask for them. And one company is about to send probably the biggest load of unasked-for credit cards in history.
Over 3 million cards will go out.
Unsolicited? Completely
unneeded? Unsolicited. Should that be wrong?
Well, it's certainly, I think it's wrong. If it's asking for trouble.
It's advertising.
Well, if they send one to my 18-year-old daughter, she's going to max it out. She don't have the responsibility and maturity to handle a huge credit card. That may be my fault, not hers.
But should nothing be allowed to advertise to her if it might be bad for her?
Well, if you've got a new heroin product you want to get on the market.
Well, that's illegal. That's not covered.
You're right.
How about send it once and then stop sending it to me? I get solicited for new credit cards all the time.
These aren't solicitations. These aren't offers. These are cards.
Credit cards.
These are approved.
They just send
in
you
name.
The card.
Yeah.
Yeah. All you got to do is call the number and activate it.
That sounds like
cool.
A sweet deal to me.
Yeah.
That sounds like trouble. I don't know how many people.
Bring them on.
But you don't think they should be allowed to do this?
I don't think you should. I think you should have to ask to go into debt. I don't think they should just offer you debt.
No. You ask the minute you purchase something and you hand someone your credit card. That's asking to go into debt. Well, this is an offer for you to have a credit card, and here it is. It's already there. I mean, it's making life easy for you.
It's making life easy for credit card thieves, too. You watch The Sopranos or Goodfellas lately? You know, stealing credit cards in the mail is huge.
Yeah, that's by the way, the credit card companies, that's an acceptable rate of loss for them. They make more money getting them through the mail than they lose, otherwise they wouldn't send them through the mail. So they're cool with it, so why should you worry?
Because I'm the guy that's got to bail out my daughter's debt. I'm the guy that's got to call them and say...
You're not responsible for stolen credit card. In fact, the maximum you can ever be responsible for, by law, is $50. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
And did you know that you can call any charge that you did not make and have that charge rescinded anytime you want?
I did not know that either.
People who put on the certain rock festival a few years ago found that out when the bands played.
If my wife made a charge I didn't make, can I call and have that rescinded too?
If you don't like the charge, I mean, eventually they'll catch up with you.
Yeah.
But it's called a chargeback, right?
Is there a fee for that?
Yeah. So I mean, it's sort of like if you're on a diet, does McDonald's have a right to put up a big sign saying food here?
or stuff a cheeseburger in your mailbox every week.
But you're
or a coupon for a cheeseburger. Yeah. Do they have the right to?
If you're told to keep an eye on your credit and keep an eye on your credit rating, should people be able to open revolving charge accounts with the ones you don't ask for? I mean, give you an approved credit card in the mail without
what
you
they
asking?
Do is they hand you the approval. Mm-hmm. And you've boiled it down to what it is. They've handed you approval for debt.
No, you still have to activate it, though, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, you would have to activate it. You would have to act on it.
It doesn't go on your credit without
in other
activating
words,
it.
Isn't all advertising temptation of one form or another?
Yeah.
Basically.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right now, isn't that also part of free speech, that we can tempt you with something? We're going to tempt you with some Volkswagens here. We've got a place that sells... They're going to tempt you with some big screen TVs. All that's coming up in the next few minutes here.
In that case, I'll shut up.
Big screen TV sounds pretty good right now.
Use your new credit card.
So should credit card companies, and we'll take phone calls on this, be allowed to send you unsolicited cards? 1-800-252-1025. Do credit card companies have the right to just send you, without you even asking, credit cards in the mail? Here's a couple of thousands of dollars you can borrow. Notice I started to say spend. You can borrow this money. You can rent this money.
Mm-hmm.
Your choice. If you need one, boy, isn't it great when an unsolicited credit card comes in the mail?
It's like Christmas.
Oh, fantastic. But if you need one, chances are it's the last thing you really need.
Right.
More debt.
Imagine you're at a bar and you've had just enough to drink. And they put a couple free shots in front of you.
Whew.
You know, you do those couple shots, that's what puts you in a danger zone. A couple more grand deep in debt, that's what puts, like you said.
Sure. The largest group of credit cards probably ever sent out is going out right now, and no one knows they're getting them. It's Citi, C-I-T-I, the nation's largest bank. You know how much the average household carries in credit card debt, by the way, revolving debt?
Is it $9,000?
$9,000.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Now, does that, so that's not including house debt, home debt?
No, that's revolving credit card debt.
And with that much revolving debt, they'll jack your interest rate up to 20% or more. What's 20% of $9,000?
That would be $1,800, right?
Mm-hmm. $1,800? How much is that per month? Divided by 12.
$150.
It's $150 a month that you're paying for just... For someone from Citi not to break your knees. It's basically, don't break my knee money.
Just to stay $9,000 in debt.
Have you seen Goodfellas lately?
I know. Just to stay $9,000 in debt.
Just to stay $9,000 in debt.
Cost you $150 a month.
And some of the, how long it takes to pay it off, some of that stuff is frightening. That if you pay a certain, if you double that, and you could, it could take you 30 years to pay it back. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is once you get that far in, unless you get a huge raise and you get a fantastic job and you can afford, it's like people that can afford to gamble. You can afford to use that as entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Then you never get out. Citi is sending these cards to holders of inactive Macy's accounts. I guess they bought the list from Macy's. Is that how it works?
Yeah, if you had a Macy's card that's 2 to 4 years old and has had zero activity, that card is going away. And in its place, you will be mailed a brand new Citi card that you can use anywhere.
Now, this means I'll get one in the mail. This exactly applies to me.
And I've had a Macy's card. I don't think I've used it in forever.
I use mine all the time. I've had it for 12 years.
You might also get one. Let's see how many of us get this card. It is of questionable legality, according to a staff attorney for the National Consumer Law Center. It certainly violates the spirit of why the prohibition against unsolicited cards was enacted. Oh, I didn't even know there was one of those.
You used to have to work pretty hard to get a credit card. I mean, it's only in the last few years. I mean, they've just been kind of sending them out.
Consumer advocates worry that automatically sending cards, rather than doing it only if they request them, could expose consumers to information-stealing scamsters. Yeah. You think?
I quoted Goodfellas. Mike gave me a raft of poo there.
Right, he said that was an old movie.
Right, I quote a 17-year-old movie, right?
And it was just, and the movie was about the past when they made it 17 years ago.
And it was about the 60s when they made it 17 years ago. But the fact is that mail theft and identity theft are still very big problems, probably bigger than ever. Mm. Yeah, I tell you, somebody's going to follow the mailman around in a rural route as he's dropping these brand new credit cards off somewhere. You will hear stories.
Yeah, but in order to activate him, you have to know some of you have to know something that was in your Macy's file.
No,
it's
you
probably
don't.
Macy's
you have
mother's
to dial,
maiden name.
You have to dial the number,
and they verify
right
who you
the
are.
Card.
They have to verify who you are when you don't.
No, you don't say a word. You dial the phone.
Oh, no, you have to. No.
You have to
enter stuff.
Usually from your home phone.
And I think you enter your social security.
You break the back window and walk in and call from their home phone. I understand there's a few steps involved. Yeah, no, I don't understand the criminal mind, my friend.
And so, by the way, according to this article, there was a prohibition against unsolicited cards enacted in the past. It doesn't talk about it. Apparently, this gets around it because you have a Macy's card, and this is just your new Macy's card with a new name on it, which is another way to circumvent the law, supposedly. Mm-hmm. Let's see what you think. Zach, you're on the air.
Yeah, I don't think that the credit card companies have the right to risk my credit rating and my privacy.
To risk it by what?
By sending me that unsolicited or mostly unsolicited offer.
How is it risking it, though?
It's risking it because it creates an opportunity for theft, which I may or may not be able to prevent.
And if someone steals an unactivated card and doesn't know all of your if they already have your personal information.
Well, if they have enough of it to activate it, yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Zach. Mark in Linwood.
Hey, Bob, I haven't heard anybody mention what the usury rate is on these puppies. I'll bet you it's close to 20%, if not more.
What's usury?
Your percentage rate. How much you're being charged.
The APR?
Yeah.
Does it say, Joe?
It doesn't. Probably, yeah, 17 to 20% would be standard.
Okay. And then secondly, the other point I wanted to make, you know what, Spike's absolutely right as far as the hassle if somebody else gets a hold of it. Here's my example, and I know it's apples and oranges. I have no-fault insurance. You wouldn't believe the hassle it caused me when someone with no insurance hit me. Even though I have the coverage, you don't believe the hassle I went through to have it taken care of. Even though I'm protected, supposedly, the same thing happens when someone steals a credit card. You may be protected, but get ready because you're in for a buttload of trouble.
Thank you. Anybody out there had a buttload of trouble?
A lot of trouble.
Whenever I eat Mexican.
Jolene.
Hi. Well,
you don't want credit card in the mail, do you?
No, I don't. I have excellent credit. And part of your credit score is based on how much credit you have opened or how many times you've applied for credit. And so if you've got a Macy's card and now they're saying Citibank is replacing it, it's still going to look like two different revolving credit cards, which can lower your credit score. Now, back in the 70s, they created this prohibition against unsolicited credit cards.
Was that around the time Goodfellas was made? I'm just
pretty close. Pretty close,
well,
Bob.
It was back in the 70s when they passed all the, you know, the Fair Credit Billing Act and the Fair Credit Lending Act, and all that consumerism was rampant. I was in consumer credit as an advocate at that time.
They never at the time did, however, pass the don't gouge them until they die.
Well, yeah, exactly. And now with all these APRs where they'll tell you like it's a fixed rate, but if you read the really tiny, tiny print, it's fixed on the prime rate, so it's still variable.
I'm with you.
But the whole thing is it takes 4 to 6 months to get this crap off your credit report.
All right. Thank you, Jolene. It seems unanimous. Matthew, hello.
Hello.
You're on.
All right. I don't think they should do it. And other topics that are related to credit cards, say if you do actually activate it and you max it out, with your statement, they send checks saying, here, spend more.
Yeah, that happens. Thank you, Matthew. Matt, go ahead.
Hey, my comment is just that the one thing they need is my Social Security number. And if I haven't authorized them to access my Social Security number, then if I get a credit card in the mail that's already approved with my name and information on it, the first person I'm going to call is a lawyer.
That's right. And Citi and Macy's say they haven't violated any law.
Because you already gave Macy's permission.
You already gave Macy's that information. They just gave you something with a different name. Daryl, go ahead.
Yeah, getting credit card offers in the mail is one of my hugest pet peeves. And, you know, conveniently, they put a prepaid envelope right inside there. So I take all of their mail and fold it up and put it back in there and write, "Keep your crap out of my mailbox," and send it right back to them.
Yeah, that's a great way to make
my
them use postage.
My wife does that without the "keep your crap" statement.
Yeah?
But she puts the stuff back in there.
Tina, go ahead.
Hi, I just got a Gap card in the mail last week, and it was from the Citibank. It is replacing my old Gap card. And I had no idea it was coming. Just like you were saying with the Macy's card, it's now a Citibank card that you use anywhere, but specifically Gap.
It says Citibank Gas?
Gap, yeah. Gap.
When Gap.
When you need a mediocre sweater, you go to the Gap. When you want a pair of jeans that aren't quite Levi's but still make your butt look good, you go to the Gap.
Is that right?
Yeah, so now I have a new credit card that I never asked for.
And you feel violated in some way?
I'm surprised. I didn't want any more credit. You know, my Gap card maybe had 1,000 on it.
All right, so this is great, Tina, because you're exactly what I was hoping for here. You got this card in the mail. You didn't ask for it. I didn't ask for this. Ooh, but still, I can hear in your voice, ooh, a credit card. Ooh.
Good anyway.
It's like you saw the card and you went, ooh, things I can have now. Ooh.
No, actually, we pay off our credit cards every month.
But you looked at it like you would look at that dessert tray, even if you weren't ordering dessert.
A little bit.
Yeah. Are you going to throw it away?
I'm not. I actually use it because I like the Gap
form. Oh!
She uses it at the Gap.
Kept her conscience. That was interesting.
I'm only going to use it at the Gap, though. I'm not going to use it anywhere else.
All right.
Much better card to use everywhere else.
Thank you. Doug, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Chuck Sebeck. Hey, I received one of those city cards just yesterday in the mail, and it was like a big mystery of why it showed up.
Why did I get a credit card?
Yeah, why did I get this credit card? And it was now that you brought it to light on your show, which I listen to all the time.
Thank you.
Now I know.
What's the interest rate on that card?
I really don't know.
Oh,
but
man, that sigh is one of the worst things about this whole business. It's like, if you ask anybody, what are you paying interest? How much is that costing you? And that's the one business. Like, if you ask someone how much their car payment is, they'll go, $300 bucks a month, $150 bucks a month. Right. You go, how much is your credit card interest? And they all go,
It's around 18%, but
yeah,
I saw the credit limit was $6,000. So.
So are you activating?
No.
What are you going to do with it?
I think it's going to get cut up and put in the drawer with the rest of the plastic.
Meg, I don't know if they can be cut up. I think they're like the ring on the Lord of the Rings.
You have to throw it in the
throw it in the fire, it just gets cold.
I don't know whether to send it back or just cut it up or what.
All right. It's going to eat at you, though, Chuck. Hey, Chuck, do you have it right now with you?
No, I don't. It's in a drawer at home.
Calling to him.
On his mantle.
My precious.
Boy, it showed up. I don't have
a ring. Precious.
Thank you, Chuck.
It's convenient.
Okay.
And they say, cut it up if you don't want it. That's the
safest. Just cut it up.
Safest thing to do.
Say, live and let die.
She was a Bond girl when a Bond girl meant something. This veteran of the stage and screen is also very beautiful and, I suspect, pretty good dancer. Jane Seymour spent many seasons as Dr. Quinn, medicine woman, and has also acted in some of Hollywood's biggest films, including Wedding Crashers, Live and Let Die, and Somewhere in Time. You can see Jane dance Monday night at 8 on ABC, Dancing with the Stars. Jane Seymour, welcome to the Bob Rivers Show. Hello.
Hi there.
Hi. Are you ready to dance?
I am dancing, dancing, dancing. I seem to never stop dancing. Yes, I'm loving every minute of it.
Is it a workout? This is kind of a weird way to ask this question, but some people, it's too much of a workout for them and they have to quit. Is it a workout for you, or do you maintain that kind of limberness all the time?
No, I do not. I am a normal person that finds every reason to resist going to the gym and still thinks that they can eat anything they want to eat and wonders why the pounds go up. But since I've been doing this, I've dropped so much weight. I'm fitter and all muscular and aching like crazy with very sore feet, but I'm loving every minute of it.
When you were approached, did you have to give it any thought, or did you just go, oh, I'm in?
No, I just said no 20 times.
You said no 20 times?
I did. I said no. I was the only person that consistently said no. I mean, I think people are lining up to be on the show, and they kept saying, you know, will you do it? You must do it. And I kept saying, are you crazy? You know, I've got a fused spine, a couple of herniated discs, a very heavy work schedule, 6 children, you know, an ailing mother in England, and, you know, and I've never done ballroom dancing, and I haven't been near a dance studio in 40 years. But here I am.
Wow. Pay must be pretty good.
You know what? I am just having the time of my life. I just, when I was a little girl, all I ever wanted to be was a dancer. And I injured myself at 16 and became an actress instead. And you know how sometimes that little seed of what you wanted to be when you were little kind of niggles inside of you? And I just thought, you know what? Maybe it's time to have fun in my life and just do something just for no reason other than to have a good time and learn something new and give myself a challenge.
Jane, what do you think the secret of this show's success is? By the way, I'm a husband who wouldn't choose. In fact, it's Dancing with the Stars. I call it husbands trapped on couches. I wouldn't really watch it, but my wife gets such enjoyment, and once I'm sucked into it, I am hooked too. What is the secret of Dancing with the Stars? Who would have thought we would have enjoyed it?
I absolutely agree with you. No, my husband is Mr. ESPN, and he would never watch it to save his life, but now he's totally hooked. I think the secret is that there are different people from different walks of life, you know, boxers and billionaires and, you know, all different kind of people, and everyone's doing something that they never normally would do, or at least most of us are. I think there are a couple of dancers in there. But and I think you see our journey. You see how tough it is. You see how hard we're working. You see the frustration. And you sort of vicariously live through that. And then when we have to do it live, that's so scary. And, you know, I think you see everyone's sense of humor. And a lot of people have seen me act, but I don't think many people have ever seen, you know, who really Jane Seymour really is, and or who Mark Cuban really is, or who any of these people are. And you get a kind of inside peek at the fact that we're actually real people.
You know, these supposedly reality shows, of course, fly people to exotic locations and have them do unreal things. But this is just, this is really just sit around and do something wholesome entertainment. Do you suppose that maybe with all the trouble and the war and the news and all of that stuff, that this is more of an escapist kind of a thing these days?
You know what? I think this is a celebration of music and dance form, and I think I think we need some uplifting family entertainment. We do.
Sure.
And I think you know, this is real. I think a lot of the reality shows are kind of a bit out there.
Yeah, yeah.
This is an actual skill that we have very little time to you know, to try and learn and do. And I think, you know, a lot of people now are actually getting off their couches and actually moving their bodies around and doing some of this dancing and realizing that it's a wonderful way to really communicate with your partner, mm-hmm. to actually make yourself fit, more mobile, and it's a great family entertainment. I mean, a lot of what's on television these days is, you know, procedural drama.
Right. Procedural.
All kind of, you know,
procedural doesn't sound fun.
All of which I do, by the way, and
sure.
And I'm very happy to do.
All right.
Jane, you keep mentioning...
I'm enjoying this.
Keep mentioning family entertainment, good wholesome family entertainment. I know you've won a couple of Golden Globe Awards, but I really enjoyed the Golden Globes you put forth in Wedding Crashers.
May we call you Kitty Cat?
Well, there you go. You know, everyone thinks they saw something, but there was nothing to see. I love the way people keep rewinding it. They're convinced. Unless you saw the reflection of my mammary glands from the front in Owen's eyes, you saw nothing.
Jane, you're also an officer of the British Empire.
I am. The Queen gave me the Order of the Knighthood, which is amazing.
And now, are there any duties or powers granted in an emergency? Can you be called? What does it actually mean?
No, I think it means that if I wanted to get married, which I'm not doing again, I'm done now.
You're done with that.
I can go and do it at can't remember which one of the abbeys somewhere in England, and it's a huge honor in England, huge honor. And if I, you know, continue to do good things for my country or represent my country well, or whatever reason they gave it to me in the first place, I think I could become a dame.
Nice. Now, in 2003, you published a book, Remarkable Changes.
Yes.
Turning Life's Challenges into Opportunities. Can you leave us with some challenge that either you faced or talked about in the book that people can turn around and make a positive thing?
Well, it's a great book, and the reason is that I not only wrote about my own challenges, but 20 different people, including my family's challenges, men and women, all different ages, all different issues, everything from people with kids with drug abuse and people who've gotten through it themselves, people who've lost their children, people who've lost marriages, jobs, you know, all kinds of things. And I personally have had three near-death experiences, amongst many other things, plus I had a terrible divorce, which I lost everything financially and emotionally. But out of it, what the challenge became, the opportunity became art. I'm now a full-time painter. I have 12 one-woman shows a year around the country. I design home furnishings. I'm acting. And now I'm dancing. And so, you know, I should not really be dancing. I mean, my doctor I spoke to the other day said, you are what?
Wow.
My office tells me that the reason I haven't seen you recently is that you're dancing in front of 20-plus million people. I said, how are you doing this? And I said, well, I guess your surgery worked.
Jane Seymour in Los Angeles, Dancing with the Stars. It's Mondays at 8, the results show Tuesdays at 9. Nice chatting with you, Jane.
Thank you.
All right. For the first time ever, men are happier than women. In the early 1970s, which I guess when these surveys began, studies found that overall, women in the United States were happier, slightly, than men. And every year since that study has been done, women were happier than parents, had a, I guess, a higher quality of life, you could say. Mm-hmm. How important is it to be happy? You can't be happy all the time. We all know that.
Yeah,
right?
You can.
You can pretend you're happy all the time.
Okay.
That's why
doctor.
You always show teeth.
That's right.
Ask your doctor.
Ask your news anchor, babe. Yeah. But you're not necessarily happy if you're smiling.
No.
According to this study by economists at the University of Pennsylvania, who, you know, see their shadow every year with this study, just like the groundhog, American men just passed women in overall happiness. They came to a conclusion, I don't know if you'll agree with it, over the past 30 years, they say, the number of women in the workforce has exploded, but that unfortunately, women still are saddled with an unfair share of the housework, so that although they've gone to the workforce because of the housework and the full part, sometimes full-time jobs, they have way less free time than women of the past. Are you buying this?
I'm not. I think we've been happier all the time. I don't think
we. Who's we?
Men. I don't think men just became happier. I know, at least in my household, I'm the happy one. I mean, I hate to admit it.
Are you going by a study of one?
Well,
why do you say men in general have been happier all the time?
I think, well, I guess because I'm a man might be part of it, but just about.
Go raw penis. Raw penis.
No.
Say raw penis to me.
If you were to ask.
I mean, are you just going to side with whatever.
No. If you were to. In most relationships that I think of my mom.
If you had a vagina, you'd go the other way.
No, I don't necessarily think so.
I never leave the house, Bob. Thank you, Glenn.
I think my wife would probably tell you I'm happier. And I'm not saying that.
I'm not talking about your house, Joe. Well, this is on average.
Well,
you're making me very unhappy.
He's trying to explain.
This is why men are unhappier.
If you asked my mother and father which one of you is happier, I think they would probably both admit my father is easier to be contented. I think men.
In general, because
women like to be unhappy.
Women are bitchy.
No, that's
what you're trying to say.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
I'll be back after the crucifixion.
I feel like a dentist. It's like an extraction to get him to say, you're dancing around.
I'm sure there are a lot of optimistic women that always look on the bright side of life, but I don't know that many of them personally, maybe. Maybe there are. I mean, I think...
Now we've painted him into a corner.
Well, yeah. I think is the glass half full or half empty?
Remember, that it's just on average in general, and it's just slightly, but it is a shift.
Well, Casey's a woman, so maybe I'm totally wrong. I don't know. Do you think you're
totally wrong in thinking, you might be wrong in thinking that women are generally bitchy?
No, I never said bitchy. Unhappy. This is all about happiness.
Okay.
Are you happy with the way things are? I generally am, even when I shouldn't be, even when things are bad. I can gloss
so
over.
So you look in the mirror and go, game, I put on 40 pounds. I'm happy though.
There's an example.
Joe's right.
Five pounds will drive my wife crazy. 50 pounds, I start to think, man, maybe I should start to be unhappy.
Maybe I shouldn't have that extra slice of pizza.
Right, but 5 pounds will drive her nuts.
I hate to agree with Joe, but he's right. Women, I don't think it has to
You don't believe the survey.
I don't think it has to do with whether happiness necessarily. I think it's more contentment. I don't think that we're easily content. I think
so. You dispute the basic premise here.
Yeah, I'm always happy, but I'm never content because I feel like I could always be better. I could always be doing something more. And I think women in general are more apt to feel that way than men. I think men are, it's a lot easier for them to go with the flow.
I think the survey is spot on correct. And I think you have to look at when it was first done and its
in the 70s.
And its evolution. In the 70s, the women had just come to the workplace on a regular basis.
Oh, come on. Women were working in the 70s?
Women were in the workplace
in the 70s. I didn't allow it. Who was allowing that?
That's a survey of one again. Careful. This is your sore you're about to jump onto. You know, women in the 50s were homemakers. Women in the 60s were fighting for their place in the workforce. Women in the 70s had finally gotten their goals. Now, the National Organization of Women.
They got their goals, though, but for much less money.
Well, they
did. Let's be accurate there.
Well, at least they were working. Okay? And so they were happier. For the first time, women were happier. Now women have come to realize, careful what you wish for. Women, I'm telling you.
That's what I think, too.
Women nowadays, now women.
I wish I didn't work.
Men, it's not that men are happier in the survey. The survey says.
It's going to be really easy to find people to disagree on this, by the way, because the numbers are so close. We're talking about a shift from like 48% say men are more happy to more unhappy to 51%.
I think Joe nailed it. I mean, I think he did. I think men have always been more content, and the surveys just haven't shown that.
It seems like basic chemistry, and I may be wrong. Maybe it's just an unusual amount of women that I deal with, but contentedness, I guess men are simpler is one reason.
So the basic premise here, let's run through this one more time.
Okay.
A study from the University of Pennsylvania, they would be, in this discussion, they would be considered the supposed expert. And I say supposed, you don't have to agree.
And these are economists, these aren't psychologists, so.
They say that American men have just passed women in overall happiness for the first time. They say it's because things are now unfair. And by the way, the great majority of women might not have even noticed this, because if you're in the 45% that thought one way, you still think the way you've always thought. I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt. What they're saying underlying is that because women have to both work, do the household chores more than men still.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God we hung on to something, some advantage.
And my wife would tell you that's the number one source of her unhappiness. It's another point where I really don't get unhappiness out of filth. I mean, it doesn't bother me that much.
You'd waller in your own stuff.
If it weren't for her, I was wallering before I met her.
So they say that because women now not only work, but also do more housework, that it's unfair and it's taxing on them. That wouldn't be a part of your life.
No.
Because you're
I live alone. I do my own housework. Right. I do my own cooking.
So the equation hasn't changed for you. Has it changed enough to make any of you out there unhappy? Eric.
I worry about it because my wife, Monique, she works and she does a lot of the cooking and cleaning. And I feel guilty. So I try to do stuff whenever I can, but I know that she's doing more than me.
Nick. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Joe on this one. I'm definitely the happier one of the two of us.
It's not a vote as to how you feel, you know.
Well, that's what the study says.
Are things changing, and is it harder for women to both work and do housework?
I think that's true. I think she definitely takes stress a lot worse than I do. I shake it off better. And I also, by the way, I do help with the housework, and I do a lot of the cooking, and I do try to help as much as possible, but she just doesn't handle stress as well as I do. That's just a fact, and I think that's a lot to do with why I'm happier.
Okay. I wonder if I'm happier than my wife. I don't give a lot of thought to her happiness, to be honest with you.
What?
Good for you.
I mean that in a negative way.
I work hard to try and make her happy, but whether I succeed or not, it's a crapshoot.
I think in your house, just looking at you, you know, objectively, I'd say, I bet your wife is happier than you are.
I think she might be.
I think she gets
happy. I spend so much energy trying to make her happy.
Right, right. You're not happy.
The University of Pennsylvania study, whether you put any weight in it or not, says that, for the first time, women are more unhappy than men in general, not individually. What do you think of that? And we'll go right to you, Liz, in Seattle. Hello.
Hi. Women, traditionally, when they used to stay home and take care of kids, they started going back into the workplace. The anxiety produced less opiates and oxytocin that they had with their children at home. If they didn't like the job, but kept a smile on their face, the brain registered that as being happy. But men can compartmentalize their emotions because they don't go left and right brain all the time. So the men would express their anger at work, where women would put on a happy face and then eventually develop depression because she was masking her emotions. So there's a lot of right and left brain stuff going on there, and how men handle their emotions at work.
Yeah. Going to work on the evolutionary scale, mm-hmm. you're saying, is relatively new for women. And by the way, work is often equated with bringing home the bacon, going on the hunt, being the provider, as opposed to being the nurturer who stays home in the cave, whether that cave, you know, is a primitive cave with a damp, musky floor, or a modern cave with a big screen TV, the soap operas are on all day.
Quadrant cave.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're saying our neurotransmitters have been conditioned for tens or even hundreds of thousands of years in one direction, and we've changed it recently.
Yes.
Eric?
Actually, on the evolutionary side, what the difference in work was that women would go out in groups where they would socialize and pick berries and gather things. It was like going shopping, but that was their job. Whereas men, we had to carry
they would
weapons.
Pick the stuff that was easy and nearby. Right. Yeah.
I want to go back to the olden days.
I'll try these berries on.
Yeah, no. And we had to use spears and face death against animals and fight in wars. And now women are arguably moving into men's territory of fighting wars and dealing with stressful situations.
It's making them less happy. Thank you, Liz. Pam, hello.
Yes.
Hi, Pam.
Hi. I just want to say that I'm content in my life and everything is great, but if I could come home and wonder what dinner was going to be, I would be so happy. I walk in the door and I'm like a cartoon and I turn into a piece of steak, and that stresses me out. And then the other thing is,
hold on, you and your husband both work full time?
Yeah.
And you have to come home and make dinner?
Yeah. And if the house isn't clean, people don't come over and go, "Oh, well, Greg, what haven't you done?" They look at me, and I'm the one, like, "Geez, Pam, how come you haven't been cleaning?" You know.
How many kids do you have?
One at home right now. An 18-year-old that's moved out now.
Doesn't pull his weight, the kid at home?
He's 11, and he's, you know,
hey, they can haul
some.
11. 11.
It's time
they
to send
somewhere.
Him out to make clothing somewhere
that's,
in the field.
That's right. That's $8 a week he could be bringing in.
Yeah.
You say you feel like a piece of steak when you get home?
Yeah. They look at me like I got food hanging on me almost. They're hungry.
Where's my food?
That doesn't turn
the female
on.
Is here. Put her to work. Thank you, Pam. Jim, hello.
Yes. Good morning, Bob Fleckinger. How are you guys doing?
All right.
I'd just like to say that I'm a single dad. I've had my son since he's 2. He's 13 now, and I've never been happier in my whole life, and I do it all.
You do everything.
I think it's all about your mental attitude, and most men are a lot more easier going than women are, and that's why we're happier.
All right. And by the way, all people are different. If what this survey concluded, which was that it's the job that has shifted everybody, well, you would be, you would be an example of where that didn't happen to you, because you got it somewhat tough.
I have hard the whole time, Bob, and I've done it ever since he was a 2-year-old little kid. I've been changing diapers and feeding him and waking up in the middle of the night and doing everything. And
but you're kind of an extraordinary person in that regard. Most of us, when times get tougher, we grumble about it.
Right.
You don't.
That's because
I think that's odd. I wish you could bottle it and sell me some.
Actually,
yeah,
they can.
Rich.
Ask your doctor.
It's called alcohol.
Right for you.
No. All right. Thank you, Jim. We have Trish. You're on, Trish.
Hi.
Hi.
I wanted to say I'm a mom of two. My husband and I own our own company. Actually, we own two companies. We both work at the company. I do the office work. He does the running around, whatnot. I have 5 acres. I have horses. I have a garden every year. I take care of what I need to take care of. I'm the one that takes the kids to their doctor's appointments, to their school, to do their, you know, parent-teacher conferences and whatnot. And I do most of the yard work, and I make my food from scratch, and my kids have a well-balanced meal every night. And I think that...
Now, wait a minute. I missed the job. Do you work full-time outside of this little casual home?
I do all the office work for a hardwood company that we own.
They have their own business.
Oh, your own business. Oh, so you moved the business into the house.
Correct.
Which cuts down on your commute time.
It cuts down on my commute time. Yeah. My husband still helps out quite a bit with the yard work, and he helps out with housework and whatnot. And I just think that there's ways to make it work to still stay in the old ways that our parents and our grandparents did.
So these women who are complaining to the University of Pennsylvania in increasing numbers.
Well, now it depends. If they're single parents and they're having to work outside the home and still do everything, I can understand a little bit of animosity towards the situation. But when you have a double household with a husband and a wife, or even a boyfriend and a girlfriend who are trying to make it work, it can work.
And you sound very happy.
My husband and I have been married since I was in high school.
Huh?
Yeah, baby.
How is property value?
Not really. Speaking of baby,
how is property value in Stepford? Is it expensive to buy a home?
It's fantastic. No, she's got the Little House on the Prairie deal. And by the way, in Little House on the Prairie, you know, they modified it for TV, but they all would have married at about 14 or 15, I would think. That's the way. That's when you should get married. You know, in a normal agricultural society.
No. We're talking about.
You need to make new field workers fast.
Right. Get them done.
Well, And we just get our kids involved because we have horses and they help out with the horses. They don't really want to do the gardening, but they will help me. Right. They're 14 and 12, so they're old enough to do their own laundry and stuff and help out in that manner.
All right. Thanks very much, Trish.
Oh, my God. She's superwoman.
In Dubai, United Arab Emirates, in a recent episode of Saudi Arabia's most popular television show broadcast during Ramadan this month, a Saudi man of the future is seen sitting in his house as his daughter pulls into the driveway, her children piled in the back of the car. "Where have you been?" the father asks. "Well, the kids were bored, so I took them to the movies," she replies, matter-of-factly. Seems like a mundane scene, but in Saudi Arabia, women are forbidden to drive. This is controversial television. There are no movie theaters, by the way. Apparently, they're hoping in the future for soccer moms and multiplexes.
It's like they're Jetsons there. It's like, imagine a time when this mom could happen.
Mama, get me off this crazy thing! Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that weird? The daughter of the future. The skit pretends something of a revolution for Saudi area television. It's a taboo about which there can be no open discussion. A woman's right to drive now has begun to develop into a topic of growing and lively debate. Women are... Now, are they considered equal in other ways, Eric? It's always known that they couldn't drive. And, of course, they have to wear the headdress and all that. Are they completely subservient, or is there any women's rights movement that has been successful in the past, I guess is what I'm curious
about. In Saudi Arabia, not really. It's pretty well given that women run the households, but that's really about it.
I'm curious why the Democrat side, for example, wouldn't make this an issue. That why are we doing business with these people if they don't treat... I mean, aren't they for the little guy and the women and the whole deal?
Well, yeah, but they also know that most of the imported oil we get is from Saudi Arabia, and they're a huge strategic partner, even though they've got horrible human rights.
I mean, I know why, you know, my side doesn't, because we trot on them and we want them to be subservient. Right, Joe?
Your side being?
I'm just funning with you.
Booyah, Bob. Booyah.
Booyah. How come it isn't a bigger global issue, though, seriously?
Why, more people haven't jumped all over Saudi Arabia and called them backwards? I'll call them that.
I think, you know.
Well, you've got a Prius. You don't need as much gas as I do.
Well,
I drive a Roadhog. I can't be rude to these people.
Not letting women drive may seem a little backwards, but, you know, those public beheadings, I think that's even a little
that
more
is worse.
Backwards.
Now, when did we give women the right to vote? It was much more recent than you would think.
1920.
Suffrage.
When did we? Did women always have the right to own property? Not always,
mm-hmm.
right?
No.
Mm-hmm. What year was that? Just to look that
up. Yeah.
I'm embarrassed that I don't know these dates. I feel like I should carry
all,
them
all women should carry a medallion with those important...
Thank you, 1920.
Well, women haven't been as subjugated as African-Americans in this country. For example, women had the right to vote long before African-Americans did, had the right to own property long before African-Americans did. I imagine women owned property prior to 1920. If mm-hmm. a husband passed away and a woman was a widow... She didn't lose the property.
You have to look that up.
They're,
yeah,
they're making progress in Saudi Arabia. The women now can go and have an education, of course, with the man's permission, but they can.
And it's all cooking classes, right?
Is it something we should be concerned about? Yeah. Just in terms of the modern world, should women have equal rights everywhere? Scott, hello.
Yeah, can you imagine what's going to happen to the accident rate the first year that all the women get their license? It'd be a great place for a driving school, but I wouldn't want to own an insurance company.
How about a body repair shop?
Hey, oh, you can't.
Hey, I'm Earl Alakalala Shibe.
No, you can't. No, no, no light. You need a whole new fender.
Wait a minute. I hate to burst your misogynist bubble
yeah,
there,
listen,
Scott.
Chuckles. Let me tell you something.
Ask any insurance executive. Women are better drivers.
I'm not saying that, but all these people have never driven before.
Neither has a 15-year-old kid.
Well, but he's right, though. A whole new gender.
The first year might be tough, but yeah. But ultimately, things should get better.
I don't have anything against women drivers at all. I'm just saying all of a sudden you have a whole new population that's never driven before, and they're going to all be out on the roads at the same time.
Thank you. Mary in Olympia, go ahead.
Spike, I love you dearly, but blacks could vote before women.
Blacks could vote. Well, you know what? Freed slaves, you're right. After the Emancipation Proclamation, African-American men were given the right to vote.
That's right.
Well, you're right. You're right.
Yeah. So it was actually the black woman that got the biggest shaft of them all because they couldn't vote still. So
you shut your mouth. Just talking about getting
shut
the
your
shaft.
Mouth.
Just talking about getting the shaft.
All right, love you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for the help.
She just didn't have any.
I know. Okay. I know. Right. Love her. Love her.
So let's see, what else does the story say? We're telling everyone this is coming, whether today or tomorrow, says the producer, writer, and host of this TV show, Tosh Matosh. Which translates to no big deal. In other words, women driving, Saudi Arabian women driving in the future, inevitable, no big deal. It's a variety comedy show broadcast during the month of Ramadan, and it tackles controversial social issues in Saudi Arabia. Is it kind of a cross between Saudi Arabian Jetsons and maybe Laugh-In?
Yeah, a little Jon Stewart mixed in.
Yeah. They've also shown women driving in what he says is a deliberate message. A woman cannot be separate from society. Women will be driving, whether it's now or 50 years from now. So now is the time to make futuristic movies about it.
You joked about our policies with Saudi Arabia, but it will be interesting if and when President Hillary becomes President Hillary. How will
she treat Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, and how will they treat her? It's like all of a sudden,
The other women from countries who need oil, she'll probably treat them. Just there's plenty of women leaders
right,
around the world.
Sure are.
They've all dealt with Saudi Arabia.
When was the last president you saw driving their own motorcade? Not an issue, buddy.
Randy, hello.
Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Good. You just came back from Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, actually, I was there 3 weeks ago. And something that was alarming to us was not only do the women not drive, but there's no age limit, so if there is a woman in the house without a man, then her son ends up driving her. So it was pretty common to see 10- and 12-year-old boys ripping up down the freeway about 100 miles an hour.
So, soccer tots, driving mom around.
Wow.
Dang.
Does it
as it turns out, the accident rate is quite high there already.
Sure, because of the teens or young, the preteens. Does it shock you when you go there? That and do you see any evidence that the women are ready to rise up?
You know, actually, we had some discussions with our liaisons about that, and they said that quite a few women are going to college in the West.
and they are bringing that idea back with them. The town we were in, Kasim, is actually a very religious city, and the 4 days we were there, I only saw one woman in 4 days. But you get out into the coastal towns like Jeddah or Dammam, and I guess the women actually go around without even headdresses there.
And may I ask, what's your business in Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, we actually opened coffee shops, international coffee shops there.
No kidding. Not Starbucks, Tully's?
No, Espresso Americano.
Espresso Americano. Nice. It's like, it sort of always reminds me when we our coffee shops are spreading. Yep. It's sort of like, poppies will get them.
Poppy will be unique.
It's like, coffee will get them.
I can't sleep.
Coffee shops taking over the world. Okay, true. One more history lesson from Robert. Go ahead, Robert.
Yes, it was the 15th Amendment that freed the slaves, not the Emancipation Proclamation. A lot of people miss that. It really didn't do anything.
How quickly after the Emancipation Proclamation did that happen?
June, well, that's why the blacks celebrate Juneteenth. It was like June the 15th or 19th. It kind of, that's why they just call it Juneteenth.
Well, Robert misspoke a little bit.
Celebration.
Okay.
The Emancipation Proclamation freed the slaves. The 15th Amendment gave them the right to vote, and they were 8 years apart.
Thanks very much, Robert.
1862 and 1870.